Hi everyone, this is Dawn Burks with GuyLive.com and the Dallas Morning News. I am sitting here today with Kevin Garrett. Woo, crowd goes wild. This, ladies and gentlemen, is my newest, greatest, latest reason to subscribe to the streaming service known as Tidal. Kevin is a singer-songwriter. He's playing tonight at the Prophet Bar.
Yeah.
And he decided to drop in and play some songs for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say hi to everyone.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, so Dallas, you yes. told me a little bit of something about Dallas beforehand. Yeah. Dallas was the first place that you played outside of your home.
Yeah. So I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then kind of went off to New York City and really only ever played shows in those two spots.
Yeah.
In a couple colleges here and there, but never really went on tour. Extensively, and then the first time I ever left to go on the road was at the Kessler Theater in Dallas. So every time I come back, it's always special and always really, really cool to see people that have been there since day one.
Yeah, and we like being special in artists' lives, and we're glad you decided to grace us here. So what's the first song we're going to get from you today?
I'm going to play a song called Stranglehold. It's off of the new EP that I just dropped called False Hope.
Yeah, you guys, this EP is everything. I mean, five songs?
Yeah, five songs. It all kind of came out of my bedroom, which was even more self-contained than the last EP.
Mm-hmm.
So took me long enough, but you know, I've been on the road for a long time and still am, obviously. So I'm glad. I'm proud of this one and excited to do some more stuff soon, hopefully.
So. Okay. Well, I'm gonna let you take it away.
Okay.
I might move over here.
Cool. Ooh, you think the ball is in your court? I threw it out days before. And this heat is fast and volcanic, yeah. Why is this love such a shame and so tame? Stranglehold on my heart, I feel the same. Let me go far away, so I'll never miss you one more day. And never miss another thing. Woo! She knows me more than I'll admit. With her, my mask is paper thin. Yeah. Woo! I'll hurry through it and get hurt. And you're gets worse, yeah. Ooh, 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 ooh. Why is this love such a shame and so tame? Stranglehold on my heart, I feel the same. Let me go far away, so I'll never miss you one more day, and never miss another thing. No, no. What's this light I've come across? And no one can ever turn it off. Blow it all up, no one will know. You think you know me, but you don't know. Ooh. Think the ball is in your court. You think the ball is in your court. Ooh, you think the ball is in your court. You think the ball is in your court. Why is this love such a shame and so tame? Stranglehold on my heart, I feel the same. Let me go far away, so I'll never miss you one more day, and never miss another thing, and never miss you one more day, and never miss another thing.
Oh, I love that song.
Thank
and
you.
I think I finally figured out why.
Okay.
No, that's my secret.
Okay, cool.
Stranglehold. I mean, every woman thinks to herself, well, everybody, it seems, thinks to themselves that, hey, the ball is in your court. You
yeah.
think it's in your court.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you think that.
Yeah.
And you've just put so much emotion behind it. I mean, this EP seems very personal.
Yeah.
How personal is it, man?
Well, I think the two EPs and a couple other songs that I've released have all been some of the most personal stuff I've ever written.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this EP, just because it was kind of straight out of my bedroom, was kind of something that was even more, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like up close, I guess.
Okay.
Stranglehold was actually a song I had written a while ago, I think in 2012 or 2013. And whenever I, from the first date here in Dallas on tour, we would usually open with that song.
Okay.
And everybody would ask, when's this coming out? Because mm-hmm. It was something that I guess was stuck with people. So I remember it went through four or five different versions. And finally landed on the one that we released, where I'm actually singing lower most of the time, because mm-hmm. originally I'm just singing up. So it was cool to commit to one of the different iterations of the song and sort of give it its own space. And I think the whole EP is kind of like that. There's a lot of depth behind each mm-hmm. song and the way that they were made. I'm super happy with the way it came out.
Oh, good. So, we're waiting for a full album-length project. Are you working on that? Is it top secret?
I think it's known enough that I didn't want to quit after one EP. So I'm definitely working on something. I think being unsigned and being independent is a perspective when it comes to releasing your first mm-hmm. album that you kind of want to cover all your bases and look at every angle for things in terms of how you want to put something out. And I've been very lucky to kind of build this touring sort of side of my career sort of on my own and with some really good support looks like James Vincent McMorrow and Alessia Cara and ex-ambassadors.
Mm-hmm. You toured with them, right?
I did, yeah. Mm-hmm. And most recently, we came to the Granada with O Wonder, who's another sort of independent kind of band who really took off on streaming and really strategic releases. So I'm just kind of the same way with the album. I think I've definitely had the concept for it for a long time. Because it's your first album, so you spend your whole life writing it, and then the next album is usually a couple years. So
and it kind of gives people the idea of what to expect from you in perpetuity.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to stay honest with these songs, and I think if anything, like False Hope, is a progression from melodrama, and you can kind of see the growth and the refinement, I guess. Mm-hmm. In the production and the songwriting and we'll see what happens next.
Speaking of independent, you co-wrote a song with the independent woman herself, Beyonce.
Yeah.
And it was on her surprise release, mm-hmm. which kind of turned her into a verb. Oh, you Beyonce that.
Yeah, exactly.
It was on Lemonade. You were one of the co-writers and co-produced Pray You Catch Me.
Yeah.
Tell me how that came about.
I think it was more or less just kind of a right place, right time kind of thing.
He says modestly.
I heard that she was a fan of some of my demos, I guess, and
and, you know, through the appropriate channels, found out that she might want to work on some stuff with me, and just honestly a surreal moment from the first time I met her to, you know, hearing her singing the song and everything, and to have someone like that kind of, you know, being in your corner in the first place is incredible, and it's just been an honor to have been a part of that project, and I'm a huge fan of hers, so it's really cool.
What was your reaction to the visuals that went along with this?
Because I think we all kind of had our hypotheses about what it was going to be because of what she did last time, mm-hmm. with the visual album, and she out Beyonce'd herself, I think, and it's kind of cool to be a part of the opening of the movie and also mm-hmm. the album. I think it really sets the tone, and that song is definitely one that can cut you open if you mm-hmm. let it. So I remember I was watching, I had to go to my friend's place because I don't have HBO, and I didn't know that it was free that weekend, but I went to my friend's place, and he didn't know what was going on, and then we turn on HBO, and she starts singing Pray You Catch Me, and he freaked out, and I kind of got really like calm, and it was just like, this is happening. So it was really special, and I'm really grateful that it all played out the way it did.
Yeah. So you want to give it a whirl?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Pray You Catch Me, everybody. I'm going to sit here and bask this time.
You can taste the dishonesty, it's all over my breath as I pass it off so cavalier. But even that's a test, constantly aware of it all. My lonely ear pressed against the walls of your world, praying I catch you whispering, praying you catch me listening, praying I catch you whispering, I'm praying you catch me, praying you catch me, praying you catch me, praying you catch me. Nothing else ever seems to hurt like the smile on your face. When it's only in my memory, it don't hit me quite the same. Maybe it's a cause for concern, but I'm not at ease keeping my brain to the curb. Praying I catch you whispering, praying you catch me listening, I'm praying I catch you whispering, praying you catch me, praying you catch me, praying you catch me, praying, 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 praying you catch me. Now I'm fading in the black until you overreact. And now I'm fading in the black. Why won't you overreact? No. Praying I catch you whispering, praying you catch me listening, I'm praying I catch you whispering, praying you catch me, praying you catch me, praying you catch me, praying you catch me, praying you catch me now, praying you catch me. catch me praying, praying. I'm praying you catch me.
That song, along with most of your others, have a thread running through them of catharsis.
Yeah.
And I love this. And what's really troubling, though, is that you're so young to be going through all this catharsis.
I don't know. I think there's a handful of experiences that I've gone through that I like to tap into, I guess, and kind of revisit. Mm-hmm. My whole thing is looking at everything from every angle. There's a song off my first EP called Never Knock where I basically just say I think too much and I don't feel enough. And it's kind of sort of me just being very visual about everything and not kind of settling on one perspective of an emotion. Mm-hmm. And on a lot of this new EP, I really tried to sort of flip the perspective and kind of same way with the album that I'm working on. I'm kind of basically writing about experiences and such, but kind of almost looking at myself in the mirror and asking how did we get here. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the main point that I'm trying to make. So it's just as much me figuring myself out as it is hopefully writing stuff that people can listen to help figure themselves out.
Right.
And that's kind of the goal, I guess.
Well, that's how you court longevity, I think.
Yeah.
By reaching people in that way. So after Dallas, where are you going next on this tour? Because this tour started January 31st.
Yeah.
And you've got several more dates to go.
Yeah. It's been crazy because, again, like I don't have a label and I don't have radio support. And, mm-hmm. And the people that are coming to these shows and selling them out are people who have been with me since the beginning or have jumped on off of one of the opener tours that I've done. It's always fun, like I said, to come back to Dallas because that was sort of the day one mm-hmm. show. But we're going to Nashville after this, and then a couple more, like Carrboro, North Carolina, and okay. I think D.C. Mm-hmm. And obviously we'll go to Brooklyn towards the end, and then I think there's Philly and Boston too. So we're coming up to the East Coast run. We started in Toronto and then went across the country to Seattle and then down the West Coast, and now we're in Texas. And I always get excited for Texas because it's consistently some of the best crowds I've ever played for, whether it's my own show or another headliner show. So this is going to be a fun one, especially since I was at this venue a year and a half ago, I think.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like my first headline show in Dallas, and not many people came, but still equally special because it's crazy to not have an album out and to be from Pittsburgh and come to a place like, you know, some like any of the cities in Texas or San Diego or Portland, Oregon, and mm-hmm. hear the entire crowd singing your songs it gets kind of overwhelming at times, so it's really, really fun. And this tour is, everybody's really exceeded my expectations. I don't really ever know what to say each night because it's so special. So yeah, I'm excited for Dallas, and then I think we have a couple of days off sprinkled throughout the rest of the shows where we're trying to hit some cities that we always just sort of drive through.
Right.
So that should be fun. But yeah, so far so good. This tour has been great, and then I just announced some dates, just a few so far, with Mumford and Sons.
Oh.
And I'm such a big fan of them, and I'm super grateful that they had me on these dates. And we do a show that's basically in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and it was at this venue where I sort of grew up going to shows. And I remember telling myself once I realized I wanted to be a musician that I was going to play there one day, and now we're going to get to play that stage, and I'm going to look onto the lawn seats instead of being on the lawn seats. So it's going to be fun for sure.
Well, that begs the question of, when did you write your first song?
Well, I guess I started playing music when I was really young. I started on violin when I was like four or five, and that kind of stuck with me and really got my ear sort of in tune with everything I was listening to, and I started writing songs on guitar when I was maybe 11 or 12, but it was the type of thing where I wasn't saying anything that mm-hmm. was meaningful. It was just kind of like the same few words over and over again, which I guess like nowadays might work.
Maybe.
So, but in terms of who I was listening to from a songwriting end, like Bob Dylan and, mm-hmm. and Hank Williams and Joni Mitchell and Sam Cooke and Ray Charles, I wanted to have some more substance to what I was saying, and I didn't really start to be proud of my songs until high school, I guess. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple that kind of stood the test of time, like Control, for my first EP I wrote when I was 16, and there's another song that I'm working on that's still kind of a secret, I guess, but I've had it since I was 15, so that's a solid decade of holding on to that one, so hopefully we get it out sooner than later. But yeah, I guess you know, it songwriting for me is so much less about, I took a class in school that was basically like a forum, and they kind of drilled it into your head that the more you write, the better you get. Mm-hmm. But I'm all for that, but I kind of like, I don't really write for output. I write for what I'm trying to say. So I'm always trying to be really specific with the things that I'm articulating, because I don't know. I can't finish a song if I don't finish it in one sitting, and I can't. Okay. It's hard for me to come back to something like that, especially if it's for myself. So I'm still the same way. I'm very methodical about what I'm writing, and being on the road has kind of made me have to adapt to shorter mm-hmm. times, shorter sessions, I guess. But it's always still about just being, you know, as honest and upfront and almost kind of surgical about the creative process. So yeah, that's all, I guess. But
well, it's weird. It seems like you have it figured out, and
hardly, but not many of us do. So yeah. I think that's what we're all still writing for. So
you know, yeah. What did Chance the Rapper's Grammy win mean for an independent artist like you?
You know, I'm a big fan of independence, and I'm a big fan of making something grow on your own, whether it's on the road or off of releases or you know, certain features or partnerships. And I think that Chance is someone who kind of embodies, on a much grander scale now, obviously, but embodies that sort of freedom that he always talks about. Mm-hmm. And he kind of blew his spot up with merchandise mm-hmm. and very accessible mixtapes. And then his third one, which was I think his most accessible one, Coloring Book, mm-hmm. obviously took home some awards, and that's just a testament to honest music, I think. Mm-hmm. And you know, his style is not just hip hop, more often than not, you know. And you kind of look at hip hop as a type of genre that is a lot more accessible, because you can create so fluidly when you're working sort of in that style, and I think you can connect with more artists, mm-hmm. whether it's featuring on a track or you know, providing production on a track or something. So I'm such a fan of hip hop artists because of their versatility, and I think Chance is, and Anderson .Paak too. Mm-hmm. Two people that I really look up to in that regard.
Anderson .Paak's his new song, I just fell in love with. But yeah, that independent spirit is what I see in you. And also what I see in you are all your influences, kind of like at first listen, I think, oh, neo-soul tradition, and I'm thinking Maxwell, but then you listen deeper and I have elements of Americana and roots music.
Yeah.
What do you see your style as?
I just like making music that I would want to listen to.
Simple enough.
And I think that's what a lot of the people I look up to, especially contemporaries of mine, are doing. I have the same mindset. And whenever I first put a song out, I'll play it next. Mm-hmm. Coloring. I put it on SoundCloud and tagged it as Odd Soul. So if I'm going to give myself a style, I guess that would be it. But it was really just to sort of define this sort of lack of definition, I guess, in my style and sort of pop sensibility. And I think it sort of targets soul-centric music, obviously, with a little bit of pop access, but just so many different influences across the board with, like you said, like folk and Americana songwriting and R&B and jazz, and it's something I've been working on for a while, but hopefully I'm sort of getting closer to carving it out a little more.
Yeah. I like the tag of Odd Soul.
Cool.
I think I'm going to start using it.
Awesome.
So
yeah, hashtag
now,
Odd Soul.
Exactly. Yeah. Now I'm going to let you play the Odd Soul of Coloring.
Oh, cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Don't want the world to know I'm by myself. For the night, tell you why nothing's right. If you're gone, stay for the night. If it's all a lie, I wouldn't mind. If you're wrong, stay for the night. We've been alright for so long. There's no coloring around us anymore. You either know or you don't. Don't want the world to know what makes me weak. Don't want the world to know that side of me. When I never even leave, stay for the night. Tell you why nothing's right. If you're gone, stay for the night. If it's all a lie, I wouldn't mind. If you're wrong, stay for the night. We've been alright for so long. There's no coloring around us anymore. You either know or you don't. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Stay for the night. Tell you why nothing's right. If you're gone, stay for the night. If it's all a lie, I wouldn't mind. If you're wrong, stay for the night. We've been alright for so long. There's no coloring around us anymore. You even know or you don't. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
so much.
Thank you
for being with us today. I really, really appreciate it. Again, you guys, the new EP is False Hope. And this is Kevin Garrett, singer, songwriter, performing tonight at the Prophet Bar. Yeah. But it's sold out.
It's sold out, yeah. But that just means I'll come back soon. So
that's
what that means.
Yeah. I'm hoping definitely come back. And we've got so many venues. Why don't you just try to play them all?
I know. I'll just try and run around tonight. Just bring this guitar.
We accept busking.
Yeah, exactly. I'll just be in Deep Ellum. Just you'll find me on a street corner somewhere.
Just strumming.
By the barbecue. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you guys for joining us. Anything else you want to tell us?
If go download False Hope. It's out now. And if you have tickets to the show tonight, I'll see you there. If not, I'll see you next time. But thank you guys so much for watching. And thank you for having me. Thanks, Guide Live. And I'll see you soon.